So here we are again. This is Pelvic Pain Natters. This is the podcast dedicated to male pelvic pain conditions. My name's Carl Monaghan. I'm the owner of the Pelvic Pain Clinic and founder of Pelvic Pain Matters. I'm joined by Tim Beam, specialist pain physio, and also a founder of Pelvic Pain Matters as well. Our last podcast, the two of us, was supporting yourself in the early days of diagnosis and beyond. Part one. So we're back for more, and we're exploring a little bit more about what you can be doing around a diagnosis, how you can help yourself, how you can support yourself. Last time we covered things like where you can find support, the importance of seeking and working with others, why transparency in recovery can be life-changing, some barriers to seeking support, and how can you support yourself. It can be pretty uncertain to begin with when a diagnosis is given. What does it mean? How do we navigate this? How do we move further forward from it? The aim of this series of what we're doing at the moment, as in these short podcasts on this, is to help you, to give you some tools that you can feel a bit more confident in moving further forwards, to know that you're not alone, and that I hope. We both hope that you find this incredibly beneficial and applicable and practical for your journey in pelvic pain as well. Good to have you on board, Tim. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you. I'm wondering how many parts to this we could record, because now that you've read that list out, I'm just thinking, oh wow, there is quite a lot more, isn't there, that would be good to talk about anyway.
And we're talking about an upcoming webinar as well, aren't we? We're talking about putting together a webinar so we can deliver this in one big chunk, make it a bit more dynamic, have some Q&A from participants on it as well. So watch this space. There will be more on that, announcing the date and what to expect, a bit of content from us. So yeah, keep your eyes and ears peeled for that one. We've also just done the second month of our Recover program. We've just done that before recording this podcast now, and we're at the Q&A stage of the second month. We're looking at what is whether it's an infection, whether it's muscular tightness or something else. And it's always really enjoyable to do the live videos with the rest of the program attendees as well. We covered some really interesting points, and we're going to bring some of those points forward into this Pelvic Pain Natters episode today as well. Like sharing your experience of what your symptoms are. Not telling everyone, not just stopping people randomly on the streets, but picking and choosing maybe who to choose and who to bring in to this circle, because it's a hidden condition, obviously, often that people look fine outwardly. You know, there's no clear and obvious sign that someone's suffering with pelvic pain, Tim, and that can be a real challenge as well, can't it?
I mean, like, if you could have a label or something, just letting people know sometimes, maybe that would help, because no one can truly know what it's like for you to go through what you're going. So yeah, and so it sort of begs the question, how could they, or could they, and then how could you go about it?
One of my patients on the back of another podcast that we did suggested about making a pin, like a, you know, a lapel badge pin, like the Prostate Cancer UK one, to help to raise awareness, you know, as a conversational point, perhaps, that it's okay to talk about this condition. It's not a dirty, I don't think it should be kept a dirty little secret, and I think that's really, really unhelpful. I admit that there are some people that would probably need to know a little bit more, and some people that perhaps wouldn't need to be brought into the fold. So choosing those people wisely is going to be really helpful. But I like the idea of a pin. I like the idea of a symbol to suggest that there is something going on that perhaps is a bit unseen. Do you know those sunflower lanyards that people wear as well? So the sunflower lanyard is a way of helping other people to know that you might be struggling with something at the moment, that you might take a little bit more time in answering, or that there may be some other things that are going on that perhaps you don't feel that you need to tell everyone about all the time and give full transparency, like wearing a t-shirt perhaps, or a cap or something like that. But a subtle way of letting other people know that you're struggling with things, and it could be a variety of different things, but the sunflower lanyard is a way of displaying, that's the word, that there are perhaps things that you might find challenging, and that other people could be aware of that and be a bit more patient, be a bit more supportive. So yeah, it's a hidden illness. I think it's we need a bit more transparency around it, and that maybe a pin or something like that's a great way of expressing that. But we're going to talk about sharing the experiences of pain today, aren't we, Tim?
Yeah, well, I think it's a nice place to start because it's a sort of a universal experience that each one of us will have gone through. But we have no idea what that experience was for another person to go through as well. So it's a privileged experience. It's actually, when you really start thinking about it, it's quite bonkers, isn't it? That like I whatever it is that I feel is pain, and how I sort of come to a realization of whatever that experience is exactly that. It is mine. So yeah, and I think it's quite an interesting exercise in itself to ask someone what they think pain is. And we get some wonderful answers coming back, actually. Something that we've run over quite some time, haven't we? And it's interesting dipping in and asking people very close to you, and sometimes we hear from people's children and how they've articulated it in really beautiful ways, really giving a depth of like insight and knowledge and understanding into these experiences. And I've taken this question out and ask people around me as well. So I remember having some lovely conversations actually with my local butchers. It's a really interesting question to open up, and perhaps the reason why we're suggesting this might be something that you could do is if you feel that someone is a supporter, someone can help nurture you, and someone that you would like to have by your side and through the journey, is someone that wants to be there for you, then opening up this conversation can be really, really helpful.
Absolutely. And the opposite of that, where, and I have had plenty of patients over the 15 odd years I've been treating this condition that don't talk to people, that even a partner doesn't know what they're going through as well. So that's incredibly isolating. And then it does feel a bit like a dirty little secret. It does feel something that is not shareable, and a part of you just can't open up and express with someone that a partner. So the value of finding support, the value of being open. And talking about it, whether it's a butcher, whether it's a family friend or partner, is incredibly valuable. Not always an easy conversation, though.
No, exactly. And I think like it's worth us sort of saying we're coming at it from this very westernized white male perspective, and clearly there are going to be differences as well. So dependent on the cultures that you come from, what you've been influenced by and in your upbringing, be it geographically, politically, culturally, religious, there will be differences in how you go about opening up a conversation, and how might you, I'm putting you on the spot here, but say you've got someone close to you who wants to support you, how might you open up that conversation?
Yeah, it's the same thing was buzzing around inside my head. I think we were leading up to the same point. We had the same thought leading up to the same junction, and you managed to get in there before me. Yeah, it's so how do we start that conversation? I think what would be What would be really helpful is to one, ask the person, can we just have a bit of a chat? I'd like to really just open up to you. Do you have 5 or 10 minutes that I could open up and talk to you about something? And I think asking for permission to begin with, instead of just laying it on someone, or what might be an appropriate time for you may not be an appropriate time for someone else. I'm thinking of my own life here. I'm busy with work and two children, and perhaps whilst we're cooking, making breakfast, emptying the dishwasher in the morning, perhaps that's not the right time for us to invoke and to start in that conversation. But at a quieter time when we're less likely to be interrupted, so for me that would perhaps be when the kids are in bed, of an evening time, and just saying, look, I'd really like to talk to you about something. Do you have 10 minutes that we can just chat openly, freely, and honestly as well? I find it's helpful to give an example of something that we're going through, and then someone else may give an example of what they're going through. So I'm really struggling at the moment with sitting down, and we covered this conversation in Recover, our online program, just an hour ago. I'm really struggling with sitting down at the moment. I find that I can only last a certain amount of time before I get a lot of pain. So you're leading with an example. Is that something that you've found beforehand? Have you found sitting to be painful, or any other experience that you've then had to modify or to change around as well? So you're being honest with yourself that this should probably be someone that you do feel that you can trust and that you can have that open conversation with as well. But that's where I would begin a conversation. Ask for permission. Give an example, and then hopefully that leads into a bit more of a dynamic back and forth between yourself and the person.
Well, I just want to clarify a couple of things that I think are really valuable, really helpful, is to boundaries and time. You're prioritizing it. You're saying this is important then, aren't you? And if you're saying, let's sit down for 5 minutes, it's not a never-ending conversation, because there's a potential that it could be, couldn't there? And I love, I'm just like dipping back into what you're saying. This is what I'm experiencing. It makes me feel like this. I need to do this, or this is what I'm finding I need. And then perhaps there might be a request about that then, do you think? I'm really wondering if you can help support me through this process, and wonder what that might look like. And yeah, that's a really nice way of opening things up.
It got me thinking then just for a moment of maybe in expressing to someone that you have a desire to talk about something that they've probably maybe if it's a partner or family member or friend, they may have seen some changes in your behavior anyway. Oh, well, that's interesting because now I understand perhaps why you don't come out to the pub anymore, or that's interesting. That now I understand why you are standing up a little bit more, or you sit a certain way. That's really interesting. I can now see that in you. I can now understand why you are doing that thing as well. And for someone who's suffering with those symptoms, that's gold. Like there's a window right there, isn't there?
And you can see this filtering through into different situations, can't you? At home, work, with friends, it's well worth having a number of different supporters here. And it is, we often get asked this question, are there characteristics of someone who typically does really well? And having a support network is a really important part of the process. Not that you, without it, can't change and improve, but it makes that job, that journey significantly easier is the wrong word, but it really is helpful. It really is beneficial having people there to support you in different situations.
Absolutely. You can just feel a bit more held and understood, and perhaps like you don't have to make an excuse, or every time you're not avoiding something because the other person or the other people just understand a little bit more, and they'll probably never get it. Right? They probably won't ever be able to fully understand. And I'm going to use an example in a moment. And it can be quite frustrating if you're hoping for that other person to really understand every single little niggle and sensation and zing and zap and do what you have to avoid and what you have to endure and what you have to go through. In the same way that you wouldn't be able to understand someone else and what their experience of it is. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't open up and talk about it. I had a patient who got very frustrated with their partner because he wanted them to fully understand and to fully grasp his experience of what it was like to go through his condition. And his partner had been dealing with, before he got his pelvic pain, his partner had been dealing with quite a serious illness themselves. It was treated and they did overcome it. And I just posed a question, whilst your partner was getting the treatments and whilst they were going through what they were going through, did you understand, did you fully embrace, did you fully acknowledge and fully understand what they were going through as an individual as well? And he said, actually, no, I didn't, and I couldn't. So in having a conversation with someone, we're not saying that the other person will fully grasp what you're going through, but they may have a deeper understanding as to how much you're suffering or the impact of it or why you're having to do things slightly differently. And even speaking with someone else who has pelvic pain might be a little bit more, or there's some similarity there, but it's going to be a completely unique and individual. You said earlier on, Tim, and I love this, it's a privilege. You know, in opening up, it's a very private experience, isn't it? But in opening up and having a conversation with someone else, it is a privilege to hear what their experience is.
Absolutely. I'm thinking about beyond that as well. So can I give another example? Sorry, just because it's in my head here. I'm just thinking about employers and people who work in teams. And we've had conversations over the last few weeks, haven't we, with people where either the employer is really on board, on side, and really helpful, or that someone it doesn't feel like they can open up to their employers and their teams and what have you. And if you are an employer or you're working in a team, it's worth storing this knowledge as well for the future, because people do go through struggles, don't they? They do go through difficult times. And if you're working in a team, like certain members of the team will be operating at a different frequency to others. A team working well is one that recognizes where some people are struggling and helping them in those times, and vice versa, that they're going to be there to help and support you in the future. Because that's really what you want as an employer as well, don't you? You want that person to be at their best, like the best of their ability at that time. And you might need to factor in certain things for pelvic pain. It might be about the literal environment that you're working in. It might be the ability to have a bit of time on your own, or to have a lie down, or to do some of your exercises that you're doing, and some calming, and just recognizing the importance of that to working, in an effective and efficient way as well. That's absolutely integral to them being a really good part of your team.
Absolutely spot on. And while I'm hearing what you're saying, from a practical point of view, that might be I need a standing desk. I maybe can I split my time of working from home and coming into the office if that's an option for you as well. Do you mind if I take my call standing up or walking around? You know, some of those practical elements to make your working day more comfortable. Perhaps better managed as well. And as Tim said, absolutely spot on. There is a responsibility from the employer to look after its employees, and getting the best or making an employee feeling more comfortable is exactly their role as well. So it's good to open up. It could be really life-changing for you at work, and maybe if you're feeling like you can't handle work in the way it is at the moment, this might be an avenue into helping things change. And there's another support network there, different role, completely different role from maybe a friend or a family member. But again, someone else in your team.
Take a bit of pressure off as well, wouldn't it? Yeah, that you don't have to sort of sit at a meeting and for an hour on an uncomfortable chair and just grit your teeth and think, I just can't wait until this is over. That perhaps you could be in a meeting and be okay to be a part of an active member of that meeting as well. So I'm just in my mind, like it's only 2 weeks ago, but I remember running a group where I had a couple of people getting up at various points, standing, walking around, you know, moving, doing some movements, exercises, etc., just breaking things up. And each time, to begin with, they were very apologetic. It seems crazy, doesn't it? But I mean, that we got rid of that like as quickly as we could. And that's in people talking about pain who know stuff about pain as well. So yeah, we have these weird things, don't we? These weird assumptions that we must, the world must be a particular way.
Yeah, and if it's not, then it's a broken place, and it doesn't help. I can certainly see that being applicable to someone in pain and them having to have a conversation with someone. There's almost a bit of an embarrassment, or I don't want to give transparency. I don't want other people to know what I'm going through at the moment. So it can be something that someone holds personally to themselves without other people knowing. I get that. I completely get that. But a little bit of conversation can be incredibly helpful.
Yeah. And I was going to say, there are times when you simply don't want certain people to know everything, but to know enough that they know something is happening and you're going through something, can be really helpful. And that process you went back to before sounds like non-violent communication technique, doesn't it? That you're sharing how you are, what it makes you feel like, what your needs might be, and whether or not there's something that they can do in that situation to help. And inviting before that, inviting them into that conversation, I think, are really wonderful. It's like a structure to opening up that conversation.
Yeah, that the other, and I had that model in my mind, the non-violent, the NVC, non-violent communication. In saying that, it is ring fencing that, putting boundaries there, asking someone for permission, giving examples, opening up, and creating a kind of a pathway of conversation. So it may not always be easy, but finding the right people or person, and being a little bit more open with them, being a bit more honest with yourself as well, can be absolutely life-changing. It helps in terms of the support for yourself and bringing other people into the foray as well. Your team, as Tim rightly mentioned earlier on as well. Pick and choose what you want to talk about, and it might be a practical example, like sitting, or its impact over your symptoms and their impact over you in the working environment as well. But if that can be more comfortable and more productive for you, that can be game changing as well.
Absolutely.
So this is part two of supporting yourself in the early stages of diagnosis and beyond. I don't know how many more parts there are going to be, Tim. We will find that out in due course. But there's some really lovely themes that are building here as well, isn't there? There's nice progression. There's nice moving forwards with this conversation. We hope you're enjoying it. We hope you're finding it beneficial. We'd love to hear from you. Our contact details are, if you want to email us, our pelvic pain matters. That's matters with an M, not natters, with an N for the podcast. Pelvic pain matters at gmail.com. Please do share the content. If you're finding it helpful, then probably someone else out there with this condition is also going to find the content beneficial as well. Subscribe would always be helpful. And if you can rate us, that would be absolutely brilliant as well. That helps other people find us as well. Always a pleasure, Tim. Always a pleasure catching up and doing these. This is Pelvic Pain Natters, the podcast for male pelvic pain conditions.
Brilliant. Thanks.